Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, and glad to have you all along for another episode of the RTC Weekly Download, where we play the old-time radio shows that you remember, some you may have never heard before as well. This week, we have an episode of Romance called Vigil for Chris. And after that, it's an episode of Duffy's Tavern, Balancing the Books with Gary Moore and Phil Baker from 1951. Right now, here's Romance.
Now, from Hollywood, we bring you one of America's favorite programs, Theater of Romance. Today, Theater of Romance brings you Robert Reif's touching love story, Vigil for Chris, the story of a young newspaper man and the girl who changed his life. So now, to portray the roles of Chris and Steve, may we introduce two of radio's finest young actors, Gene Bates and Larry Dobkin.
Another scotch, Steve?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Not doing much business tonight, Eddie.
Cold weather.
Yeah.
Didn't keep you away, though.
Nope.
You know, Steve, I don't get you writers at all.
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. You come in here almost every night.
Well, is that bad?
Oh, for me, it's good. Then you go home and sit up the rest of the night writing that column of yours?
So?
So, what kind of a life is that? What does it get you?
You know, that's a good question, Eddie. That's a very good question.
Well, what has it gotten you?
Oh, I don't know. Some friends, few enemies, maybe.
And all?
A little tolerance and understanding, I hope.
So, for that, you beat your brains out every night?
Pretty silly, huh? Except I guess that's about it, Eddie. Except for the memories, of course.
Memories? Of what?
Oh, a lot of different things, Eddie. Little things, like... Oh, like two old men in the park on a sunny morning predicting the end of the world. I like the way the city looks at dawn, clean and rested. I like a little kid pressing his nose against a candy shop window. Silly, isn't it? Carrying stuff like that around in your head?
Maybe. That tune, Steve, I've heard you playing it around here before. Is that one of the memories?
Yeah, that's one of the memories.
Huh?
There's a girl around town used to play that tune a lot.
A girl?
Christina.
Christina? Oh, yeah, I remember. She used to be at the Savoy Terrace. Let's see, that must have been almost...
A year and a half ago.
Well, yeah. Well, how'd you...
Oh. Yeah, another memory, Eddie. One night I decided to go over to the Savoy Terrace. I wanted to find out why she was packing them in and maybe write a column about her.
Steve?
I wrote the column. It was a good story, too. Almost as good as the one I didn't write about her.
Look, I didn't realize. I mean, well, you know, sometimes it's a little hard to bring memories like that back.
Not this one, Eddie. This memory has never been away. Christina had already started playing when I got to the Savoy Terrace, and as the head waiter led me to my table near the piano, I noticed how quiet the place was. Everybody was listening. Then I sat down and I looked at Christina. She had on a simple white gown that accented her tan, honey-colored hair, gray eyes set far apart, and a mouth that... It was quite a mouth. Playing was clean and right, but there was more than that. Somehow I couldn't quite put my finger on it, so I quit trying. I just leaned back, watched her, and listened to her. And as I did, a strange thing happened to me. I felt suddenly relaxed, at peace. as if I'd been wandering around for a long time and now I'd finally come home. Guess I'd been sitting there staring into space for several minutes before I realized the music had stopped. I looked up. She was standing beside my table.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
You're Mr. Turner?
Yeah, would you please sit down?
Oh, thank you. They said you wanted to interview me.
Yes, Miss...
Christina will do.
Christina? I write a newspaper column.
I know, I've read some of them, and I like them.
Well, thank you.
You're honest. You write with your heart.
About the interview.
Oh, of course. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I had a bunch of stock questions already to ask you, and they suddenly don't seem very important.
Oh?
Yeah. Look, I've been sitting here trying to figure out what there is about you and the way you play.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Take me, for instance. Do you know what I got to thinking about as I sat listening to you? Steve Turner, age 18, and his first steady girl.
Yes.
That happens to other people?
I hope so. I try hard.
Why?
Oh, maybe because sometimes the things that happen to people aren't very pleasant. And if once in a while they can remember the good things and feel at peace again, why, I think that's fine. And if listening to me helps them a little, that's good to know.
Christina...
I guess you caught me with my guard down. I'm afraid what I just said would sound pretty silly in print. Maybe we'd better stick to those stock questions of yours, huh?
No, I'm not so sure.
I've got to go now. There's someone waiting for me.
Well, look,
good night,
maybe...
Mr. Turner.
She walked quickly away from my table. Over near the entrance, a tall, good-looking man was standing. She went over to him, and they walked out together. Well, I guess I should have known someone like Christina wouldn't like for boyfriends. I went home and wrote that column about her. Stayed up most of the night doing it. And when I finished, I slipped a copy in an envelope and mailed it to her. I wasn't sure why. Then I tried to sleep, but I couldn't. I kept thinking about her. How she looked, talked, how she played. Finally, a few cigarettes later, I went over to the window and looked out. Dawn was starting to take over in that sleeping city below me. And suddenly I found myself wondering if somewhere Christina was looking out of the window, too. Well, about then I decided I'd better get a hold of myself. I closed the window and went to bed. Next night, I sat around making a list of all the friends I was going to call on, and I almost convinced myself for a while, too. But then around 9 o'clock, I tore up the list, and I went back to the Savoy Terrace.
Again.
Hello again.
Thanks.
For what?
That story you wrote.
Oh, no.
You know, the things I said last night, I thought they'd look silly in print. But the way you wrote them, they didn't. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Would you care for a drink, Christina?
Chris.
Chris.
No, thanks. I'm afraid I can only stay a moment.
Oh. Gonna leave me in a hurry again, huh?
Yes. Well, tell me what you've been doing since... since I saw you last.
Hasn't been very long, has it? Not much of anything.
Whom are you interviewing tonight?
Tonight? Nobody.
You know something, Steve?
Hmm?
All evening long, sitting at the piano, crazy little thought was chasing around in my mind. I kept wondering if you'd come back. All the while telling myself how silly it was. And then you walked in.
Yeah, well, Chris...
I'm glad you came tonight, Steve.
Look, Chris... I'm not sure what's happening, or even if anything is. But, I'd like to see you.
We'll see, Steve. I've got to go now, but call me. Please call me.
And like the night before, she hurried away. And also like the night before, the tall, good-looking man was waiting for her, and they walked out together. I didn't quite understand it. Apparently, he was a regular thing in her life, and yet she seemed genuinely glad to see me. But even if I didn't understand that, there was one thing clear. I wanted to see Chris, and I did. I called her the next day, and we had lunch together, and also the day after that. Pretty soon, we were spending most of our free time together. I realized I'd never known a girl quite like Chris. She was a curious mixture, kind and gentle, and yet with a proud, fierce independence. Most of the time, she seemed quietly happy, and yet every now and then, I'd find her staring into space with a great sadness in her eyes. So during the next 2 weeks, we drifted along, getting closer all the time to something that hadn't happened to me for a long time, or maybe never had. And then one night, we arrived. It was Chris's night off, and we had dinner at her apartment. Yeah, she could even cook. After dinner, I stood beside the piano, listening. Finally, she looked up at me.
That's an awful faraway look.
That's awful nice playing. I don't know. It always seems so restful just to be here listening to you play.
You know something? You have the same effect on me. You and my mountains.
Hmm?
Oh, there's a little place called Alpine way up the mountains. When I'm up there, I feel the way I do when I'm with you. Isn't that good?
It doesn't sound bad. Play the other one, huh?
Oh, long ago.
Uh-huh.
The playing still make you think of Steve Turner, age 18, and his first steady girl?
Uh-huh. Only you know something?
What?
Now, for some strange reason, that first steady girl looks a lot like you.
Oh, Steve.
Chris.
Darling, I guess we've been heading for this for a long time.
I know.
That's funny. The first night you came in, darling, to interview me, I recognized you. I'd never seen you before in my life, but I recognized you. Isn't that crazy?
No, because it was that way with me, too. I think we're very right for each other, Chris.
I know we are, Steve. I mean, We could have been...
Chris? Chris, honey, what's the matter? You're crying.
Steve, please leave.
Leave? Chris!
Oh, darling, don't you see it? It can never be. It can never be.
We will return to Romance in just a moment.
We have, together, ample capacity in freedom to defend freedom. This is NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. NATO is a defensive alliance to combat possible aggression. NATO is a framework within which the 15 member nations can cooperate in many varied ways to safeguard the freedom, common heritage, and civilization of their peoples. The United States of America is a part of NATO. You should be aware of and alert to the objectives and programs of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
I guess I was pretty confused and unhappy that night, and I felt the same way the next morning. Then about 10 o'clock, Chris phoned.
Steve, I'm sorry about last night.
I am too, Chris. I still don't know what's the matter.
I think we've been seeing a little too much of each other lately, Steve.
Oh?
Maybe it would be better for both of us if we sort of...
Look, Chris. Let's have lunch together today and straighten things out.
Today? Well, I don't think so, thanks. I'm sort of tired, Steve. I think I'll just stay here in my apartment.
I see.
But I'll be seeing you, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be seeing you. Sat there in my apartment the rest of the morning trying to work. Don't ask me what I wrote. And then just before noon, I had a brilliant idea. I remembered a book Chris had wanted to read, so I grabbed it up and then went out and bought some flowers and some candy. Yeah, the whole works. Then I headed for Chris's apartment. I got there just in time. In time to see Chris leaving in a new Nash Rambler with that tall, good-looking boyfriend. I guess I shouldn't have needed any more answers after that, but I'm stubborn and I wanted that final one. That night I was waiting for Chris when she finished work at the Savoy Terrace. Hello, Chris.
Oh, well, Steve. Hello.
Look, come on, get in the car, will you? Let's go for a ride and we'll talk.
Steve, it's pretty late.
I think we should talk.
All right, Steve.
We drove out to a point overlooking the ocean. We were both halfway through our second cigarette before anyone said anything.
Steve, this is all my fault.
What is?
Things should never have gotten as far along between us as they did. I guess I just didn't realize until it was too late.
Well, why shouldn't they have, Chris? You mean because there's someone else in the picture?
Hmm?
That tall fellow I've seen you with?
What about him?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I see.
Steve, I guess there's nothing for me to say.
I don't get it, Chris. I can't believe that you were just sort of kidding around with me.
No, I just wasn't kidding around with you.
Well, then why? I mean, if you weren't...
Steve, it just doesn't do any good to talk about it.
Maybe not, except I'm pretty funny about some things, Chris. Maybe it's just stubbornness, but when there's something I can't understand, something that seems awful wrong to me, then I want to talk about it and keep talking about it until I do understand.
You're making it pretty hard for me, Steve.
Well, you think you've made it easy for me? If you really do care, I should think you could at least...
If I really care. If. Why do you think this is tearing me to pieces? Because I do care. So very much because I love you.
Chris! Oh,
I shouldn't have said
but
that.
But you did. You did, Chris. That's the important part, and I know you meant it. Look, meet me at Carter's tomorrow morning.
Carter's?
You know, the jewelry store. It's sort of customary, isn't it?
Oh, Steve, no, I can't. I mean, I want to, but... Oh, I'm confused.
Darling, I'm confused, too. About a lot of things. But not about us. About us, I'm sure. I love you, you love me. It's as simple as that. Let it be as simple for you, too. Meet me tomorrow morning.
All right, Steve. All right.
I lay awake a long time that night, making plans. You know the kind. Guess I was right in the middle of deciding between a Cape Cod cottage and a ranch house when I drifted off to sleep. Then the next day came. The day that was going to be a red-letter day in my life. Well, it was a red-letter day, all right. 9:45, I was waiting in front of Carter's, hoping Chris would be early. At 10:30, I was still waiting for him. And I began to worry. Finally, I telephoned her apartment. There was no answer. I was really worried then, so I jumped in my car and drove over. On the way, a sickening little thought kept creeping into my brain, and I kept throwing it back out. Then I was climbing the stairs and walking down the hall to her door. It was ajar, so I pushed it the rest of the way open. Caught the delicate odor of platine in the room, reminding me of Chris. And then that sickening thought came rushing back, and this time it stuck there. Because it didn't take much of a look around to tell me that Chris had gone for good. I went back down the stairs to the manager's apartment.
She checked out first thing this morning. Left in quite a hurry, too. I told her I couldn't refund the rest of the month's rent on such short notice, but she didn't seem to care.
How about a forwarding address?
Didn't leave any.
None at all?
Nope, none at all.
I had the final answer I'd been looking for now, but I couldn't believe it. I went back to my place and spent most of the day sitting there, staring at the telephone, remembering all the times I wanted it to ring and it... Now I wanted it, but it didn't. Hours later, I was able to get it through my head that she wasn't going to call again, ever. I went back to writing stories. Full time. I'd write, I'd eat, I'd sleep a little, and I'd write some more. But I couldn't get Chris out of my mind. I kept wondering where she could have gone. Where? And then one night, almost a month after she'd left, it hit me. Once at her apartment, she told me about a place in the mountains that she liked a lot. Now, what was the name of it? Alpine, yeah. I got on a map and opened it up. Alpine, a tiny dot about 300 miles from the city. Early the next morning, I pulled into Alpine. It was a little mountain village, cold and clean. I drove down the street and noticed a gas station and pulled into it.
Morning! Yes, sir, mister?
I'd like a little information.
Sure.
Did you ever hear of a girl named Christina, plays the piano?
Christina? Sure.
What?
Sure thing. Known her for years.
You wouldn't happen to know if she's around here anywhere now, would you?
Well, sure.
Where?
There's her place up there. Take a look.
I looked. Perched up on the side of the mountain was a little Swiss chalet. I drove up a winding road as far as it went and then parked my car and I started up that path toward the door. And then I heard it. The piano. The tune. Playing sounded tired and forced. I stood in front of the door a minute listening and then I pulled the door open. Across the room was a baby grand piano and behind it, facing me, was Chris.
Steve.
Hello, Chris.
Oh, Steve, why did you come here?
I don't know exactly.
You shouldn't have.
Maybe not. Maybe I just wanted to see you, Chris, and ask how you could have done what you did.
I'm sorry, Steve. I should never have let things go as far as they did.
Oh, but Chris, darling...
Steve, please go. Now. Now.
She was staring over my shoulder out the window. I turned and looked out. There, coming up the path from the road, was the tall boyfriend.
Please go.
I guess that answers all my questions, Chris. Congratulations. You really had me fooled. So long. I went outside. Light rain was starting to fall. Halfway down the path, I passed the boyfriend. Got in my car and drove back down to the village. One store, one gas station, one bar. This time I tried the bar. I was about to order a second when somebody slid onto the stool beside me. The boyfriend.
Hello. I'd like to talk to you.
What about?
Christina.
Oh? Well, what am I supposed to do? Leap over the net and congratulate you? No, skip it.
I don't know how much you know about all this.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Matter of fact, it does. You see, I'm Christina's doctor, and I...
You're... Oh, wait a minute. Let's have that again, huh?
I'm Christina's doctor.
Doctor? There's something wrong with her?
Very much so, I'm afraid.
What is it?
We're not completely sure yet. It's a strange thing. It seems to be an increasing paralysis. It's been coming on for quite a while. Lately, it's gotten considerably worse.
Oh?
That's why she decided to come up here.
I see.
I'm telling you this because from what I can gather, she's pretty deeply attached to you. Whatever happened up there a few minutes ago made her pretty miserable.
Yeah, I guess it must have. Is there, I mean, what are the chances?
Of complete recovery?
Well,
it's a little hard to say right now. We're shortly going to take her to a place where she'll get the best of care and treatment, where they specialize in that sort of thing. And we'll continue to do everything we possibly can. Yes, I'd say there's a chance, all right?
Look, Doctor, if you'll excuse me...
Sure.
Oh, and thanks, Doctor, very much. I drove back up that winding road, walked up the path to the cabin. Chris was still sitting behind the piano, her head in her arms. And as I walked around the piano, I noticed something that I hadn't seen before. She was sitting in a wheelchair. Chris.
Steve.
I didn't know, Chris. I didn't know.
No?
Your doctor, he just told me.
He shouldn't have done that.
Yes, he should. Chris, why didn't you tell me a long time ago? Why didn't you?
What do you say to someone? I'm getting sicker by the day. Won't you please love me a little more?
Oh, you know it wouldn't have been like that.
I know. But I just couldn't. At first, I didn't realize what was happening to us, I guess. And then when I did realize it, it was too late. Oh, there were a lot of other mixed-up reasons, too. Before I was really sure of your love, I couldn't stand the thought of any pity creeping into it.
There wouldn't have been any. Chris, I think it was wrong, very wrong, not to tell me. Doesn't matter now, though, because that's all past. All we have to think about now is the future. Our future, together.
No, Steve.
What?
Not together, not now.
But, Chris...
But, darling, the way I am right
that
now...
That doesn't matter. Look, Chris, what does matter is that we'd be together helping each other.
I'm afraid I couldn't be much help to anyone right now.
Oh, Chris,
Steve,
darling...
Pretty soon I'm going to another place to stay, a place where I'll get the best care there is, where they'll help me fight this thing.
But don't you see, darling, I want to be with you, always. That's what I want. How you are now, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
It's got to be this way, Steve, my way. It's what I want. Oh, please. Please let me have it. Please.
Chris. Well... Okay. What you want, I guess that's what I want, too.
Oh, darling, thank you.
Oh, what do you want me to do?
Not to try and find me. To live your life in whatever direction it takes you. And not to let the thought of me hold you.
That's going to be a sort of a hard thing to do, Chris.
I know, my darling, I know. Well, I have an awful lot to live for. Because you've given me something I never had before. And so, deep inside, I feel that things will work out. And, Steve, if I... When I finally put all this behind me... Or then... I'll come back, darling. I'll come back to you.
Well, that was almost a year ago. I haven't seen Chris since. I haven't heard from her. So I write my stories, and I wander around town. And when Eddie of Eddie's Bar asks me why I play that tune, I tell him it's a nice tune. And when my friends ask me why I don't get married, I tell them I'm a career boy. Once in a while, I'll think I see her on the street, and then when I get up close... It's never she. But I go on looking and thinking about her and waiting. Because, you know, I sort of think that someday I'll see Chris again.
Theater of Romance, under the direction of Norman McDonnell, has brought you Vigil for Chris by Robert Reif. Co-starred in today's performance were Gene Bates and Larry Dubkin, and featured in the supporting cast were Ralph Moody, Jack Crucian, and David Ellis. The special music for Theater of Romance was by Eddie Dunstetter.
Romance has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Romance, Vigil for Chris. Now we're off to Duffy's Tavern in New York. 1951 is the date on this one. It's Balancing the Books with Gary Moore and Phil Baker.
It's Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. By Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you what every smoker wants. mildness, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. The cigarette that brings you Bing Crosby and Bob Hope, and by the makers of Anacin, for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. And now, here we go, friends, to Duffy's Tavern with Burt Gordon as the Mad Russian, Hazel Sherman as Miss Duffy, our guest, Phil Baker, and starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat. Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Tonight, Phil Baker from the $64 question. Now, take it or leave it. Yeah, that's where you stand up in front of everybody and ask your questions. Sort of a night court with prizes. Well, anyway, Duffy, you ought to see what I got on the menu. In honor of Phil Baker, special take it or leave it dinner. Well, so far, one guy took it and he left it. But it'll be nice to see Phil again, though. He's an old friend of mine. Huh? An old friend of yours coming down tonight, too? An accountant to check the books, huh? An accountant? What a life, kid. Duffy, my conscience is clean.
So is the cash register.
Duffy, please. Look, Duffy, this is a fine accusation. After all the years I've worked for you, I'm surprised. In fact, I'm hurt. That's all our many years of association means to you. I'm sorry. Holy cat, he's wise to me. What am I going to do?
Oh, 10 to 20 years.
What am I worrying about? Your old man is just trying to scare me. That's all.
Well, why don't you show him the books and scare him back?
There's nothing wrong with them books. The books is perfect.
Good evening. I am Elmer Waterprice, CPA.
Oh. Dissatisfied public accountant, huh?
You are Archie, I take it.
He's Archie, and he took it.
Look, well, make yourself to home, Mr. Waterprice. Here, let me take your hat and briefcase.
Just a minute. All I want to do is look at the books.
Hey!
I said I want you to show me the books.
Can't hear a word you're saying, stranger.
That's funny. I can hear them perfectly.
Okay, then you show them the books.
Young man, stop that stalling. Now, where are the books?
Elmer, come here. You're a family man, ain't you?
Yes.
You got a wife and kiddies that love you dearly?
Why, yes, I have.
Elmer, it so happens that I'm soon going to be loaded with dough. You see, I got a picture called The Man with My Face. And United Artists themselves is releasing it, and naturally, we're figuring on making a lot of money, see?
Yes, go on.
So I thought, I think I got him winging. I thought maybe if I gave you and the family a couple of passes to the picture.
Young man, do you know that bribing is a penal offense?
Okay, then penal me. The books is over there on the counter. What a phony accountant there.
Gee, Archie, do you think you'll find out the books don't balance?
How can he miss? Things are either balanced or they're unbalanced.
How do you do?
Russian.
Yes?
What are you doing here so early?
I am inviting you to dinner at my home so you could meet my mother.
Sorry, I'll have to meet her some other time. You see, I'm on my way to jail.
Oh, in that case, you can meet my father.
You mean to tell me that your father's in jail?
Yes, they locked him up for something he didn't do.
Well, what didn't he do?
Wipe his fingerprints off the safe.
Yeah. Russian and that family of yours kind of gets around, don't they?
Oh, yes. Especially my brother. Every spring he goes up the river.
Goes up the river? To jail?
No, up the river. He's part salmon.
This is ridiculous. How could your brother be part salmon?
Mother was a fin. But you should see my sister.
Your sister, huh? What's wrong with her?
Absolutely nothing. She's a perfectly normal halibut.
Russian. Russian, did you ever have your head examined?
Yes, but they didn't find anything.
This I can understand. Now, where am I going to dig up some money now? Excuse me. Hello? Oh, hello, Phil. Phil Baker.
Oh.
Huh? What, you're on your way down, but you got lost? Well, what part of town are you in? You're going down Park Avenue, enjoying the smell of the spring in the air? Well, start walking east till the smell turns to pastrami. Okay, see you in a little while, Phil.
Say, Archie, who is this Bill Faker?
Russian. It's Phil Baker from Take It or Leave It, the guy that gives away the $64 every week. Hey, wait a minute. Europa. That's the way I can get the dough to cover the shortage on the books.
Archie, you mean you're going to win as a contestant?
Why not, Miss Duffy? I have a reasonable modicum of intelligence. Got common sense. A good memory. I think fast on my feet.
Yeah, but you don't know anything.
Oh, yeah? I can answer any question anybody around here can ask.
I say, young man.
Oh, it's the accounting. Yes, sir?
I have a question for you. Why are all the figures in this column erased?
Well, you see, Elmer, the trouble is with the figures,
You now have Sing Sing. Would you like to try for Alcatraz?
Now, here's a word from RCA Victor. Last week, the curtain went up on the 75th anniversary of the National Baseball League and the 50th anniversary of the American League. And there's no better way to celebrate than by enjoying it firsthand, the thrills and the clean sportsmanship that have made baseball today the American way. Of course, next best thing to a seat in the stands is a seat in front of 19-inch RCA Victor television. Those big 19-inch pictures are clear, steady, bright. RCA Victor's new extra-powerful picture pickup gives you the best possible reception everywhere. And RCA Victor quality, so apparent in every feature and detail, is safeguarded when you buy the RCA Victor factory service contract for expert installation and maintenance. Next chance you get, take your pick of 19-inch television models now on display at your RCA Victor dealers. It's million-proof television. Quality proven in over 2 million homes.
Boy, this encyclopedia is full of valuable information. Abelard, Aberdeen, Abyssinia, Afghanistan. Miss Duffy, just listen to this. The average wind velocity in Afghanistan is 9.7 miles per hour. And the prevailing wind direction is from east to west.
Valuable information. What for?
Well, if I should happen to be in Afghanistan on a windy day and dames walk by in them loose sarongs, I'd know which corner to stand on.
Well, as I've always said, there's nothing like an education.
Thank you.
And what you have is nothing like an education.
Oh, yeah, wise guy? Here, take the encyclopedia. Go ahead, ask me some questions.
Okay. Oh, here's one you ought to know. What hit Sir Isaac Newton on the head?
Mrs. Isaac Newton?
You now have zero. Would you like to try for minus one?
Don't be so funny. I'll answer the next one twice to bring up the average. Now, go ahead.
All right. What is the formula for hydrogen?
That's simple. Half hydro and half gin. Go ahead, honey. Hit me with another.
Okay, answer this one. What is the population of Madagascar?
What year?
1912.
What month?
February.
The population of Madagascar for February 1912 was 2,756,824.
Holy cat, that's terrific. How'd you know?
I don't. I'm bluffing, too.
Why, it's Bill Baker! Well, Mr. $64 question himself. Bill, it's a pleasure to welcome to the tavern the star of Take It or Leave It.
Thanks. And now that I'm here, I'd like to leave it.
Tell me, why?
Because I can't take it. For goodness sake, Archie, why don't you open that window?
I can't open a window. It faces the fish market.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Your apologies accepted.
I guess the fish market would object to the smell from here.
For 2 cents, I'd squeeze this guy's head together till you couldn't tell it from his accordion. By the way, Phil, you didn't happen to bring that thing, you know, the accordion with you, by any chance.
Oh, yes, I have it right here. I'll play just as soon as we're through talking.
Phil, let's keep talking. Tell me, how's things going since you're back on your quiz show?
Never better, Art.
You know, you must be a very brilliant person to run a program like that.
Well, one does have to know a few questions and answers.
Where do you get the questions?
I hold them in my left hand.
And the answers?
I hold them in my right hand.
Then, as I understand it, your brilliance consists of rolling your eyes from left to right.
Well, occasionally I ad-lib a bit. I blink.
How daring of you, Phil.
Well, if it isn't Phil Baker...
Archie, what is this?
What is this? No coaching from the audience, please. Bill, I'd like you to meet Miss Duffy. The question to a maiden's prayer.
How do you do, Miss Duffy? I'm very happy to know you.
Scholar 45098.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, well, you're always asking questions. I thought I'd give you the answer first. by the way, Mr. Baker, I have a T.L. for you.
Really? What's the T.L.?
My girlfriend, Tessie Lopchick. She thinks you're the funniest and cleverest comedian on the air.
Well, thanks, Miss Lopchick, for me.
Believe me, that's quite a compliment from a girl who can't even understand English. And now that we've met, Mr. Baker, I have a rather personal question I'd like to ask you.
Yes?
When you take out a girl and you bring your accordion along, which one do you squeeze first?
Wow. That depends on which one has the better build.
In your case, Miss Duffy, the accordion. Now beat it.
Say, Mr. Baker, may I interject an interjection?
What?
Alexander Graham Bell... And 1942.
What's that?
Two answers. You figure out the question.
Archie, what's this? A fugitive from We the People?
No, Phil, it's just nature's proof that two heads is not necessarily better than one. We call it the Mad Russian.
I see. Mad Russian, how do you do?
How do you do? Is that a dollar question, or are you just making conversation?
Well, let's call it the dollar question. I'll give it to you again. How do you do?
Can I have three guesses?
All right.
I give up.
Russian, then why did you want three guesses?
I don't give up so easy.
Well, you'll have to excuse him. You see, when he was born, the doctor was nearsighted, and the Russian got slapped on the head.
Mr. Baker, speaking of questions, I have one for you.
What is it?
Name a city.
Name a city, huh? Could you give me a hint?
Try San Francisco.
Okay, San Francisco.
You're wrong. Absolutely wrong. It's Schenectady. Yes. Yes. S-C-H-E-N-E-C-T-A-D-Y.
Russian, that's amazing. You just spelled Schenectady.
I did?
Yeah.
I thought I spelled San Francisco.
Congratulations, Russian. You have just won the jerk pot. Now, Archie, how about letting me play my accordion?
Your accordion? Phil, do you have to play that stomach Steinway? It drowns everything out. A guy can't even think.
Young man, I'm still going over the books, and there are certain shortages I'd like to have explained.
Shortages. Phil, how would you like to thrill us with some nice accordion music? And make it good and loud. Terrific. Quick, play some more.
Just a minute, young man. Stop that stalling. Your books are short.
$57. $57, huh?
Archie, is there any way I can help you get the books to balance?
Mr. Baker, you couldn't get those books to balance if you held your accordion in one hand and a parasol in the other.
$57 short. The Duffy will send me to jail.
Oh, we can't have that, Arch. Say, I've got an idea. Why don't we put on my $64 question show right here in the tavern tonight? If you win, you can cover the shortage.
I'm in.
Well, all you have to do is use your brains.
You're out.
Oh, yeah? Give me that cyclopedia. Let me see now. Abelard, Aberdeen, Abyssinia.
Here are two guys who don't need an encyclopedia to give you the right answer for what every smoker wants.
Now here's Chesterfield's answer to Cyrano de Bergerac. Bob Hope.
I'd top you easy, Dad, but we only have a minute here to sell Chesterfield.
Okay, well, let's get to it.
Better tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
The mildness is a cinch to prove. You just make the Chesterfield mildness test. You know, open a pack and enjoy that milder aroma. Then smoke them,
And you'll know that Chesterfields are mild.
And Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel.
So make our cigarette your cigarette. The reasons go together like this.
Buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfields are milder, milder, plus no aftertaste.
Oh ho, open the pack and give them a sniff.
Then you'll smoke them.
Well, Phil, I'm all set. Russian, announce the quiz show.
Presenting Mr. Taking It or Leaving It, Phil Baker.
I thank you, thank
and
you.
And featuring your friend, not mine, Mr. Taking It and Lossing It Up, Archie.
All right, Archie, you're our first contestant. Let's get started. Are you ready?
Go ahead, me brain is frothing at the leash.
Very well, select the category.
Select the category. Right away, he starts with a trick question.
Oh, no, no. I mean, choose a subject.
Oh, that. Well, what subjects have you got?
Well, let's see what we have on the board. Now, there's ancient Aztec ceramics, early Buddhist poetry, medieval Slavic etymology.
How about famous saloons on Third Avenue?
No, I'm sorry, we don't have that. Now, how about calculus or ancient Roman history?
Ancient Roman history, that sounds pretty good.
You'll be sorry!
Maybe, huh? Phil, ain't you got something a little more cultural?
Cultural?
Yeah, easy.
The only subjects left are baseball and etiquette.
That's right up my alley.
Baseball?
No, etiquette.
Very well, the subject is etiquette. Now, for $1, what is etiquette?
Well, etiquette is...
That's correct, you have $1. Now...
Hey, I'm hot tonight, huh?
How would you like to try for $2?
You think I'm going to quit when I'm in the middle of a winning streak?
All right, for $2. What is a finger bowl?
Oh, a finger bowl. It's etiquette, huh? Mm. Yeah, that's the thing you wash your fingers in.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. In case your fingers is full of mashed potatoes. Oh.
What are you trying to do? Talk your way back to zero? Now, for $4, who wrote the book of etiquette?
Who wrote the book of etiquette? Could you give me a hint?
Okay, the last name is Post.
Uh-huh. Could you hint me the first name?
No, but I'll tell you this. The initial is E.
I got it.
Yes?
Edgar Allan Post.
Good. Edgar Allan Post pays you $4 for originality. Now for $8, what implement is used at the dining table for picking up lumps of sugar?
Implement picks up sugar. Sugar.
Tongs for the memory.
I got it.
Yeah?
Bob Hope.
What?
Bob Hope
picks up lumps of sugar?
It ain't hay, brother.
It ain't right either. I'll give you one more chance.
Let me see. An implement to pick up sugar.
Coaching from the audience, please.
Miss Duffy, please, get back to work and stop waving them sugar tongs.
That's the answer.
What?
What you just said.
Get back to work?
No.
Stop waving?
No.
The sugar tongs?
Yes.
Amazing how some people have trouble with these quizzes. Phil, hit me with a $16 question.
All right, Archie. Tell me, what is the largest city in Italy?
Largest city in... Wait a minute, what's that question got to do with etiquette?
Well, what have your answers got to do with the question? Go ahead, what is the largest city in Italy?
I see, the largest city in Italy. Italy, huh?
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam.
I got it.
What is it?
Buffalo.
Oh. No, think, Archie. Where do you have to be to do as the Romans do?
Romania?
Well, we'll give you credit for a near miss. Now, shall we both try for the $32 question?
Okay, Phil, we'll both try for it. But leave us get back to my favorite subject, the etiquette.
All right. Does one eat peas with a knife or a fork?
That's self-obvious. One uses a fork.
That's right.
Just use the knife to mash them with.
How dainty. Well, you have 32. Would you take it?
Let me see.
Only, huh?
I owe the books 57.
Then why don't you try the $64 question?
You'll be sorry if you do.
You'll be in jail if you don't. Okay, Phil, hit me again.
Very well, the $64 question. This question concerns table manners.
Oh, that's up the alley.
Now, the King of England comes to your house for dinner.
Naturally.
Where does he eat?
He eats in a dining room, of course. You think I'd put the King of England in the kitchen?
No, no. I mean, does he sit to your right or your left?
Well, if it's the King of England, he sits to me right.
That's correct. Absolutely correct. Archie, how did you know?
Well, I wouldn't want him sitting around the side of the table where he can look into the bathroom.
Archie, you're brilliant. You win $64.
Okay. Oh, Mr. Waterprice, here's the dough now, so the books won't be short. And to show you the kind of a guy you're dealing with, you can keep the change.
Just a moment, young man. I owe you an apology.
Huh?
I've made a mistake in my figures. The books are not short at all.
They ain't short? You mean I worked me brain to the bone for nothing?
Well, Archie, you've got $64. Now you can take out your girlfriend, Peaches Latour.
What? Me going out with a striptease? Me, an intellectual?
When we ask you to try Anacin for the relief of pain due to a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, we're not asking you to try a new or unproved method. For there are many people listening in now who have been introduced to Anacin tablets by their own dentist or physician. You who have received Anacin this way know the effective, incredibly fast relief these tablets bring. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven, active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. People by the thousands are using modern Anacin today instead of other ways. Doesn't their experience seem worth following? Try Anacin the next time you suffer pains from headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. You'll be delighted with the result. Ask your druggist for Anacin today. Anacin is spelled A-N-A-C-I-N. Again next week, friends, to Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. By Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you what every smoker wants. Mildness, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. And by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. Listen tomorrow evening for The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, the Saturday night feature of the All-Star Festival.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.